We now have more reporting on that drone strike that killed Taliban leader Mullah Mansoor last weekend. According to the Wall Street Journal, U.S. surveillance drones don't operate in the area of Pakistan in which Mansoor was found and killed. But American spy agencies used intercepted communications and other types of intelligence to zero in on him. According to the journal, the American military was able to strike the Toyota Corolla that Mansoor was in before he got to the crowded city of Quetta. A strike there would have obviously been much more complex. The Taliban named a new leader yesterday, Hobeetullah Akhundzada. Philip Reeves covers Pakistan and Afghanistan for NPR, but he's in Boston with us, and we've asked him to open his reporter's notebook on this and other stories. Philip, welcome.
Thank you.
What a pleasure to see you face to face after talking to you for so many
years. It's a great
years.
Pleasure to be here.
Well, but not a lot of fun news out of Pakistan. We have the death of a Taliban leader, the appointment of another, threats from the Taliban, some carried out for retribution. How else has this reverberated in the region? Does the Taliban, for instance, feel that Pakistan abandoned them? I mean, the feeling is that officials from Pakistan are protecting the Taliban in Pakistan.
Well, I think this is a moment of some considerable significance. This is the killing in a drone strike, a U.S. drone strike, of the leader of the Afghan Taliban. And the official explanation for carrying that out was that that leader, Mullah Mansoor, was an obstacle to peace. He was resisting pressure to go to the negotiating table and had indeed escalated the conflict. The American leadership has fudged the exact area that the strike took place, but the Pakistani government and military are in no doubt that it happened inside Pakistan and are publicly portraying this as a violation of its sovereignty. And as a result of that, tensions, at least in the public domain, between the U.S. and Pakistan are once again being ratcheted up.
Yeah, but is that just for show? Are they just saying that? Is Pakistan just saying that they were so offended by this drone strike, or were they a part of it, as the Taliban believes?
Well, the truth is no one knows, and it is very difficult to establish that sort of thing. But the fact that the leader of the Afghan Taliban, at a time when the Taliban is engaged in, you know, open conflict, is traveling in a car inside Pakistan is obviously awkward and embarrassing.
Not perceived as good.
What
about the other Pakistanis, not the military? How do they feel about a U.S. drone strike?
Well, drone strikes have been quite controversial in Pakistan for many years, not least because of the fact that civilians have at times in significant numbers been killed by drones. The fact is, though, that there is an element within Pakistan that sees this as an effective tool, although they don't necessarily openly admit this, against the militants. And the support for the use of drone strikes, I think, probably hardened after the massacre of 130 Pakistani school kids in the city of Peshawar
in 2014.
And that really did change public attitudes towards Islamist militancy involved the Pakistani Taliban, not the Afghan Taliban, but these are, you know, violent Islamist militant groups, and public attitudes in Pakistan were changed by that because of the sheer brutality of that attack.
Right. Just be clear, when we say Taliban, we understand there's not just Pakistan Taliban and Afghan Taliban. There's so many other branches. What do we mean when we say Taliban?
Well, the Afghan Taliban is a coherent organization. There are rifts within it. And in fact, one of the areas that people will now be concentrating on, I think, is whether the new leader that's just been appointed will heal those rifts or will there be more? And there have been spin-off groups as well in recent times from the Taliban have gone off on their own. In Pakistan, although they've recently been driven out of Pakistan by a military operation there led by the Pakistani army, there is a separate organization, which is the Pakistani Taliban. And then there are, of course, elements of Al-Qaeda out there, also relatively newly arrived, the people who operate under the brand of the Islamic State.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and then there's the Reeves family. What is it like? You report in both Afghanistan and Pakistan.
Well, it's incredibly interesting. The work is amazingly compelling, really. It can be very grueling, obviously, because you're often dealing with acts of horrible violence, mm-hmm. and you're often witnessing people who are in, you know, extreme conditions of anxiety or poverty. I mean, in Afghanistan in particular, life is extremely tough for Afghans. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my life is one really of constant movement.
How
so it's busy.
Is,
you know?
How safe is that to travel around in Pakistan?
Well, I try to make it obviously as safe as I possibly can. You know, it's not a terribly safe environment in some places, although I do not feel particularly uncomfortable in Karachi or Lahore. However, one has to be realistic. There are risks there. There are people who are out to target the population, and among them, there are people who are out to target Westerners.
And we think of how dangerous it has been for foreign correspondents in some of those cities that you named in the past. But so when we tend to hear about the region that you live in, it's because there's been a car bomb or a suicide bomb or some new political spasm. What is it that you get to see, Philip Reeves, that we're not getting to hear about? Because there's never time for those stories. I mean, somebody you've met or a place you've been.
Well, I do try to bring stories from the landscape which are not about conflict and which are not about the endless political skirmishing that goes on in South Asia and particularly in Pakistan. I have, in the last few years, been able to sort of break away and do a few stories like that. I'll give you one example, which is to visit one of the many people who are obsessed with keeping pigeons.
And
that was a good fun story to do because it was different. And, you know, you're dealing with really committed enthusiasts who fly their pigeons every day over the skies of Pakistan's cities.
And just of the landscape, as you're driving, maybe thinking, concentrating on your security or thinking of the news that you're about to cover, just describe a landscape that, you know, makes you inhale, you know.
It's very dramatic. The city where I'm based, Islamabad, is essentially in the foothills of the Himalayas. So you've got this backdrop of steep hills, which then blend into mountains. So it's a dramatic landscape. Storms come ripping through. So sometimes, you know, you are greeted by these dark skies and these huge claps of thunder. Beyond that, of course, if you travel in the westward direction, you head towards Afghanistan and the mountains that border Afghanistan and Pakistan. That's dramatic too. And in the south, you've got this marvelous, flat, rather fertile, rich landscape of Punjab province.
You mentioned thunderclaps and dark clouds. But what's on the horizon for Pakistan, given these shifts? Do you think there are going to be peace talks? Do you think the Taliban can be reintegrated in Afghanistan?
Well, I think Afghanistan is really probably the top of the list of kind of issues that are boiling away on the landscape at the moment. It's an issue for Pakistan, obviously, because it's one of the four nations that are involved in the efforts to try to bring together some sort of peace process, along with the United States and China and the Afghan government. And it's also an issue for Pakistan on other fronts, because there is a view there that the conflict in Afghanistan, if it really melts down into absolute chaos, could then spill over into Pakistan, and there could be yet another wave of Afghan refugees into Pakistan. You know, there are several million already, and that would mean considerable more pressure on the country. And you have to put this in the context of Pakistan's other obsession, which is India, where relations are rocky, and the driving force of Pakistan's sort of involvement in Afghanistan appears to be their conviction that Indian influence in Afghanistan is growing, and they fear being surrounded by India, which is, of course, their traditional rival, their nuclear-armed foe.
Philip Reeves, who has literally opened his reporter's notebook for us, it's sitting there on the desk in front of you. Thank you so much for bringing us some of your thoughts about the place that you have covered so long, South Asia. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.